And we await that day. Well, we'll leave it here for now. We'll leave it here for now. Thank you so much for your messages and for your calls as well. We're about to get into the news at 8. Remember tomorrow that the 2026 national budget will be presented, and it'll be the last time that the UPND government under this 5-year tenure will be presenting the 2020 national budget generally, and that's for the 2026 national budget. And quite a number of expectations and anticipations around this, but we'll talk more about that tomorrow on the show. The Phoenix Breakfast continue as we get into the third and final hour of the show. It's 8 hours, and the main news bulletin with Lucibilla Gondry is up next.
This time check was brought to you by Stanley Bank.
Phoenix FM.
Check. There we go.
106.7. Bonzi. The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
We number only 1 million na Absa. Play your cards right, Muntu IMD, and you could win big. Simply tap or swipe any of your Absa cards 5 times in a month, and you could be one of 10 lucky winners to take home and achieve 10 fin in monthly prizes, or walk away with a grand prize of 250,000 kwacha. Chaliro ku, and you cannot afford to not get lucky. Use your Absa card to enter the draw. Terms and conditions apply. Your story matters. Absa.
The headlines. Fuel security at risk as Ndeni faces $250 million capital shortage. Political analyst says no visible movement for change in Zambia ahead of the 2026 poll. In global news, Colombia's president calls U.S. attacks on alleged drug boats act of tyranny. Sent the news, I'm Lucivilo Gondry. Ndeni Energy Company Limited board chairperson Watson Lumba has warned that the lack of investment in the state-owned refinery, which requires over $250 million in fresh funding, is undermining operations and contributing to sporadic fuel supply, particularly diesel, across the country. Mr. Lumba has told Phoenix News that Ndeni has no capital to finance fuel, cargoes, or maintain storage, and now depends on joint ventures with foreign partners. He says while the partnerships have allowed intermittent supplies since June, Ndeni is operating at a loss because Energy Regulation Board ERB price reviews do not always cover the extra costs incurred by the entity. Mr. Lumba reveals that the refinery's tanks are empty and that huge sums of money are needed to build up dead stock before supply can stabilize. He adds that without over $250 million in fresh funding or government policy support, the refinery cannot guarantee fuel security.
The fuel which is on the market now, most of it is from Ndeni. And Ndeni is supposed to supply fuel up to the end of December. Ndeni is a state-owned enterprise, but without capital investment, nothing has been invested in Ndeni to bring in fuel. What has happened there is our own initiative to find partners to say, can you give us fuel at this price? And the price which we get fuel and the price which ERB doesn't consider the challenges Ndeni does when they bring in fuel. So, but we are forced to do because we are state-owned enterprise. So I can tell you that Ndeni is not operating at a profit level, no. But no one is willing to put in money into Ndeni, into those tanks that they can be used.
Political analyst Dr. Neil Simutani says the movement for change in Zambia is not strong enough to suggest a comeback for the former ruling party, the Patriotic Front, PF. Dr. Simutani tells Phoenix News that while some Zambians may be unhappy with the UPND government's performance, the situation is different from the 1991 and 2021 elections when the demand for change was clear and overwhelming. He says the outcome in Malawi, where former President Peter Mutharika has returned to power, is incomparable to Zambia's political environment, noting that President Hakainde Hichilema's predecessor, Edgar Lungu, was declared ineligible and has since passed away. Dr. Semuchani, however, says that it would be wrong to completely rule out the PF, but has stressed that Zambia and Malawi are two different cases.
What should happen is the movement for change should be visible, and when it is visible, there is no contestation about the possibility of change. In Malawi, there is a visible former leader galvanizing change. You see, in our case, Edgar Lungu died. If Edgar Lungu was alive, we would say, oh yeah, there's a possibility that Edgar Lungu would bounce back. But certain things happened in Zambia. One of them was that Edgar Lungu was back from Tanzania. So it was only possible that maybe his party would come back to power.
Malawian President Lazarus Chakwera has conceded defeat to former President Peter Mutharika in the just-ended elections. A development expert, Victor Chilufya, has urged government departments to invest in income-generating ventures to secure sustainable funding for various projects. Mr. Chilufya says sectors such as health must reduce dependence on donor support and focus on homegrown solutions for long-term sustainability. He notes that the recent withdrawal of U.S. aid support to the health sector has had a serious impact on the supply of essential drugs and human resource capacity, hence his call for proactive measures to counter such developments. Mr. Chilufya says stronger collaboration across government departments is needed to boost revenue-generating activities and strengthen financial systems. He has stressed that Zambia must now adopt a self-sustaining approach to ensure continuous implementation of key development programs.
Most of the sectors are shaky because funding is withdrawn. Health personnel who are working alongside have lost their employment. And then, of course, even the services that were being rendered, they are also at a difficult time where our people are not able to receive the maximum service that were given during the time of USAID. We need to embark on the homegrown solutions where other sectors have embraced certain investments around it so that the proceeds of such investments are able now to give support to the existing services.
Safety Foundation Executive Director Yusum Nirongo has urged the UPND government to ensure that resolutions from the recent endeavor on artisanal and small-scale miners are fully implemented to curb unlicensed mining activities across the country. Government recently disclosed that over 3,000 mining cooperatives have been formed, with another 1,000 already licensed as part of efforts to formalize the artisanal and small-scale mining sector. But Mr. Nirongo tells Phoenix News that while the gathering was unprecedented and gave sector players a chance to engage policymakers and funders, similar initiatives in the past have failed to produce tangible results. He says the sector has long been neglected, with little oversight on safety, health, environmental protection, mineral output, or revenues lost to illegal mining. Mr. Nirongo has also lamented the absence of clear legal frameworks to allow individual small-scale miners to engage directly with respective mine ministries, a gap that he says has fueled illegalities in the sector.
For the artisanal mining, it has been associated with the illegal mining. And for me, I will not call them as the illegal miners, but I will call them as the unlicensed miners. Now that the government has made the huge pronouncement in terms of formalizing the sector, I think that is good. What has been happening in the past is that that sector has been neglected in the name of illegal mining. Because it is illegal mining, no one had interest to see what actually was happening, what they were mining and the conditions under which they were doing such mining activities. And that is why we recorded a lot of, and we're still recording a lot of fatalities.
In global news, U.S. airstrikes on alleged drug trafficking boats in the Caribbean Sea are an act of tyranny, Colombia's president Gustavo Petro told the BBC in an interview, where he also called for criminal proceedings against U.S. officials if investigations find Colombians were killed.